Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra.
And I'm Jade.
We got the whole team.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. If you're listening, you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. If you're listening, obviously.
They could be watching. They could be watching on AFA streaming.
Obviously, you're listening.
You knew what you were saying.
So, we are a radio show / podcast that focuses on couples struggling with infertility, miscarriage. And we have definitely grown from that to cover adoption, foster care, child loss, IVF,
all of it.
So many things. And so we are here today to talk about a special topic today.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun.
I know.
Mother's Day. It is tomorrow as of this recording. Mm. And for many women struggling with infertility, I'm going to say probably all, it's just difficult. It's just one
it
of those.
Be,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. You feel the weight of it sometimes a week in advance, and you go in Walmart and
see a month, 2 months sometimes.
Yeah. And like, we're going to break down why is that?
Help us, Holy Spirit.
And how do we, you know, I think about the scripture that Jesus says, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Psalm
the context of that is talking about the day of redemption when He died on the cross.
Mm.
That's the day
that's
you're talking
heavy.
About? Because I've always, my mom would make me say it every day. When I was a kid, she'd be like, if you had a grumpy attitude, she'd be like, this is the day, and you had to like finish it. And you're like, the Lord is my whatever. Anyways, you know, even Mother's Day is a day that the Lord has created. And so how do we, as women struggling with infertility, how do we keep our eyes on the prize, Jesus?
Yeah. It's possible. Through the help of the Holy Spirit. Look, actually, while y'all are sitting here, I was just thinking, I shouldn't have wore false eyelashes because I may end up crying. Hey, I may end up crying. So if I pull one out, don't judge me, okay? If I pull one out.
Well, look, we brought you on this show specifically, Jade, because Ann and I, infertility stays with you your whole life. It never goes away. Even
whether
after
you have a child or
exactly.
not. Yeah.
But you're in the fresh season of not having a child in your life.
Six and a half years and counting.
Yeah.
I have to laugh to not cry, which there's nothing wrong with crying, but actually a verse I've been meditating on in Proverbs where it says, laughter is medicine to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
I recently started praying, Lord, help me laugh more, because I noticed I wasn't laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, actually, I wasn't laughing like how I used to laugh when I was in college and high school. And I brought this up to my husband and I said, I've started praying next to the Lord to help me laugh more.
I love that.
And he said, babe, that's good. I kid you not. Since I've done that, I just find myself laughing about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like things that the Lord is bringing forth, that's bringing forth joy and laughter. Because the enemy wants to steal your joy
that's
when
so
you're dealing
true.
With it.
That is so such a good word.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about like just what is it that's hard for you about Mother's Day? What is it? Like somebody that doesn't understand.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's just a day to honor moms. Like, get over it.
That's it. It's the day to honor moms. I'm not a mom.
Why is it hard?
Because I'm not a mom.
Yeah,
I'm not one. Now, for me, because I've had some women to try to put, you know, we can easily put our own convictions on others. Yes, I'm a stepmom, but that's not a mother to me. It's for me, okay?
In the way that you want
to. In the way, yes, yes, absolutely. That's for me. Every stepchild, stepmom, parent situation is different. Ours is unique, and this is how ours is. She loves her mama, and she should love her mama. I'm not her mother. And so for me, yeah, it's because I'm not a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a day where women are celebrated, and they should be. The role of a mother, like one of the reasons I wanted to be one, because I grew up with a good one.
Mm-hmm. Same
Man,
here.
She loves
Same
the
here.
Lord. Oh, my Lord. I love my mama. And I hear, ooh, help me, Lord. I don't want to cry. The eyelashes going to come out. But I love my mama. And just growing up, you said your mom had you do Psalms 118:24.
Mm-hmm.
This is the day the Lord has made. Ours was Ephesians 6:1. I'm one of three. Let us act up. Ephesians 6:1. And we will repeat that. And it was like the fear of the Lord. I want to live long on the Lord.
Okay, there we go.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Say my mom always said, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
Like, they knew how to get us. But putting the fear of the Lord at a young age. And for me, I'm kind of like Hannah, or at least I would strive to be. Like, I'm like, Lord, I would give them over to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to invest. It's not just me having a lookalike. So, yeah, that's Mother's Day can be hard because you want to invest in someone. Mm-hmm. But what the Lord is showing me, I can invest in others. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing about it is maybe you're hearing this and you're like, well, you have a stepchild. Invest in her. When it comes to investment, you got to want to be invested.
That's a very good word. And you have to want to be discipled. You have to accept.
You
got to
want it. Yes. When I got discipled years ago, I wanted it. Mm-hmm. I was regularly meeting with that lady because I wanted it. Yeah. When you don't have a biological child, they necessarily may not want it. Whereas with your bio kids, they may not want it, but they're naturally going to have a bit towards you. Mm-hmm. So it's just a unique situation.
That's a good perspective. And you chose to not go to Mother's Day services at church for a couple years?
It was about 3 years that I didn't go. Our church also does baby dedication on Mother's Day.
Yes.
So, like, what a special way to, you know, do Mother's Day and baby dedication together. But it was really, really hard. And so, very much vividly remember that Sunday being there. And, like, I mean, I had to leave. I just couldn't stop crying. Mm. And I didn't want attention. I didn't, you know, that was before we had really even shared with a lot of people that we had had multiple miscarriages, you know, things like that. And like, this is supposed to be happy, you know? And
it feels like you come in and it's an emotional landmine of
Boom.
Stuff that you step on and you didn't know, or a Band-Aid's being ripped off. And
when we had the option to, I think it was Jane when her baby dedication was coming up. I don't think it was Mark, but it was going to fall possibly on that Mother's Day baby dedication, and I chose not to do it. Not because I think it's wrong, but I know what a hard day that can be for women struggling with infertility.
That's so sweet. I'm sorry.
We're not trying to throw darts at churches that want to honor moms.
No.
100%.
Because I wanted to bring something up. Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15. So what it reminds me of, I think there's a responsibility on the women with children, the women without. We still got to rejoice with those women who are blessed. Now, because that is a life, especially when it's a believer. Mm-hmm. But women without, the women who have children, you have to be sensitive to those who, like, it has to go both ways.
Yeah. For sure.
Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. So I feel you. Like, we just had a baby dedication in our church a few weeks ago. Woo! I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, rejoice, Jay. So I'm rejoicing, right? My husband's leaning over. He kept asking me, are you okay? I'm thinking, what do you think? Am I okay? Stop asking me. I'm thinking I didn't say it.
I'm trying to keep it together.
And I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me not cry. Help me not cry. Which is nothing wrong with crying. I just, like you, Ann, I didn't want to. This is a rejoicing moment for those other women.
Right.
6.5 years is a long time. And so I'm just like, and I was sitting there and I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, should I get up and go cry in the bathroom? But I pushed through, and I'm not trying to get a pat on my shoulder just because you don't cry. There's nothing wrong with tears. Jesus himself cried. Mm-hmm. But I pushed through, and eventually, you know, I had to renew my mind with the word. I will say, I think one of the number one things I think of when it comes to how to fight this struggle with infertility now, number one, you got to work on your spiritual walk. You have to renew your mind and think of the scriptures. What does Christ say about you?
Good, because
motherhood does not define you. It is just the revenue that the Lord is using for you to give him glory. Our number one reason for being on this earth is to glorify God. How? With whichever area he wants us to, in our jobs, if he wants you to be a mom, and as a married person, like, it's what revenue, but ultimately it's to glorify him. And so I had to remind myself that. And even as I'm talking to y'all, last week I was struggling, you know, it's a lot of women here at AFA pregnant. You know what I mean? A lot. Like, I think five, which is a wonderful thing, but someone like myself who is not in that, it could be a struggle. And I think we have to be sensitive both ways. Like, I will remove myself sometimes if the talk of their children gets a little long because I can only handle so much. But I think women with kids have to be sensitive. Like, for example, when I have friends who are single, I'm not going to talk about my marriage the whole time. Why? Because I'm going to be sensitive to them.
The season of life that they're in.
Because it has to go both ways. And I think that that's a part of being a believer. It's not me being
not that you
really
can't talk
sensitive.
About it at all.
Because I'm rejoicing with y'all. Glory to God. But it still is a sensitive topic. So I think it has to go both ways.
You brought up identity, which I think is a huge thing on Mother's Day. For me, I chose to to go to our service, but I was terrified. Let me, it's so silly, but they give sometimes like a rose, or they'll have a little gift that they give to moms when you come in. Yeah. And the thing that gave me anxiety was that they were going to try to give it to me, and I didn't feel like deserving of it because I'm not a mom. And then I felt like they're going to look at me and think, well, why aren't you a mom? You should be a mom at this point. And I felt, and not that any, like that's putting words in their mind and mouth that aren't necessarily there. But that's what I felt, that there was this expectation of culture of you should be like, this is the path that you're supposed to go on and you're not there yet. And it felt like failing. And I kind of felt a little bit lost in my purpose because, you know, there's so much of us as women that is designed to nurture.
Yes.
And when you don't have a direct outlet for that, you feel like, what am I supposed to do with these feels?
And some people get a dog. I'm scared of dogs. I want one. But the Holy Spirit said to me, like, I'm trying to work on that fear. But just, but if you get this dog, I fear you will idolize this the way you're idolizing a child. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting children. But what I am aware of, there are some women who idolize. I have a dear friend. She has 6 kids. She loves them dearly. But when I say that woman does not idolize her babies, like, she doesn't. I'm like, that's how I want to be. I have another friend. Took them 10 years, they have a child. And when she had her baby, let me tell you one of the things she struggled with. When can I have a date with my husband? She loves her babies. But when she told me,
it's
said,
not the number one.
Yes. I'm like, that's how I want to be, good, Lord, if he does give us children. Because I don't want to idolize these kids, y'all. Yeah. They're not our gods. They will move on. Pastor Parker, Joseph Parker of Hour of Intercession, check out his show. He said this to me, y'all, and it rocked my world. He said, parents love their children more than their children love them. That is so true. Do you look, Mark feels that
interesting.
Your kids, why? Because they're gonna move on and have their own lives. So it is dangerous when you start putting your kid in this like neglecting your marriage or neglecting your walk with the Lord because of these little ones that are gonna grow up and have their own. So this is the area that I think, if you're still waiting, I'm sorry y'all, I'm passionate about this because I'm in the midst of this. If you're still waiting, the Lord is showing me this is a season, Jade, for you to prepare for that if I give them to you, because he doesn't promise us that.
Right.
His will is a kind intention. I was reading that in Ephesians chapter 1, where the Lord was reminding me of who I am. I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, just because you don't have a child, you are worth more because of what Christ did on the cross. Motherhood does not make you less of a woman or more.
Well, motherhood can also break you. I mean, like, well, I'm just, what you're talking about, finding your identity. Motherhood, especially after grieving, I wrote a blog on this because of how hard it is to still mother when you're sad, when you have hard things going on.
So if you make motherhood an idol and then you hit a hard time,
and
you're
like, what is this? What, you know, I don't know what to do with these feelings because these kids aren't giving me what I thought they were going to give me. You know, basically, I thought it, they were going to give me life because I longed for them for so long. But then some days it literally feels like they're taking the life straight out of you, you know? Like, I'm so tired. I don't, you know, I don't know what to do with this temper tantrum again. Did you seriously just spill that again? I just told you not to touch it. You know, things like that, that I, when people, when I would hear moms complain, and I'm not saying, I'm not trying to complain, but I didn't get it when I was longing for a baby. I was like, at least you have that. At least you, you know, whatever. But then when you have it and you're exhausted and, you know, you go through hard things in your marriage and hard things in life that you didn't picture going through, but you're still responsible for showing these little people Jesus.
That's real.
And you're having a hard time to be more like Jesus every day yourself. Wow. It's a lot, you know? And so I just feel, you know,
we don't think about that.
Well, no, you can't, because you haven't been through
it.
But that's something that I have had to learn a lot with, you know, dealing with hard things in life that I didn't picture coming my way, but then still having to show up because that's what you're called to do as a mama. You don't get sick days. That commercial that used to be on TV, you don't get sick days. They still expect you to show up and get them breakfast and get them milk as soon as they ask for milk, and then they're ready to go outside and play, and they're ready to read a book, you know, all the things. You're still expected to be there and do that no matter if you're having a bad day or not, you know?
I haven't been through nearly the trauma that you've had to experience as a mom, but just the day-to-day with Eliana, I was surprised. I kind of thought, like, this is prideful, but
no, keep it 100.
I thought, I'm going to be a really good mom.
That's what I
was So when I showed them infertility, I was like, world, just wait, because you're going to see how great I am at this job.
I'm about to make this look easy.
I'm gonna make this look so easy for all you other people. And then Eliana Joy came into the picture. And I remember crying, just thinking, I'm good at this. Why are you crying? I'm
why are you everything. Responding this way?
I am a good mom. Like, buck up and love me. Like, oh, it broke me. Because I really had this imagination of what I would be like as a mom through infertility, especially thinking, like, just give me the shot to prove it. And then I was humbled at how hard all of a sudden this job was.
They will humble you.
They do.
Right.
See, and I'm going to tell you, women, like, in my position, I'm like, I need to hear this. But it's kind of like before I got married, there was this lady, she would tell me, now Jade, marriage is beautiful, but it's work. And I'm like, girl, whatever, I get to do it when I want, you know. And then I got married, I'm like, this is work. I could see that even with motherhood, because we do. I daydream. I do. I daydream, sit down. And I daydream, oh, I love you so much. And I daydream this one. Have y'all ever done this one? Where I'm walking in, my kids just running, mommy, you know, because we used to do that with my parents.
That's why they only do that with daddy. Just letting
letting you know. All the time, and you're so boring. You're
that
boring.
Doesn't happen with mom.
Oh my lord!
I'm just kidding, Jane. You know, sometimes I'll do it.
Jane is funny though. Jane's like, mama, she's like a teenager. But overall, I think Mother's Day can still be a beautiful time, also. Because keep this in mind, I'm so blessed to still have my mama. All of us do.
Yes.
So I still aim to honor her. I have my mother-in-law, and so there are things like I still have to push myself through that. And I think we also have to remind ourselves, God is the opener of the womb. He's purposely choosing for me not to have children and you too.
Wow.
We got to be okay with that. That's
hard. Not that he's punishing you or causing it, but sometimes he allows things, you know, because of his purpose and his plan.
His kind intention of his will. I think about that. That's Ephesians chapter 1 verse, like I had to write this down, verse 7-5. It says the kind intention of his will. And the Holy Spirit led me to that last week during a moment I was having, and I was just like I said, all these baby announcements, and that verse stood out to me. And what the Holy Spirit said, are you saying that my will is not kind and that I have not been kind to you? And that, man, I like when he keeps it 100. It hurts. But I need it. And so I had to repent before the Lord because I was upset with the Father. Like, this is a roller coaster role. Like, there are days I'm good. And I will say, depends on what time of the month it is. Ovulation, I'm dandy. I can hear about a pregnancy. I'm like, that's cool. All right, awesome. You know, but now before, you know, my cycle, I may not be as dandy or within. And so it's really just having to pursue reframing my thoughts to honor the scriptures and knowing that God is all powerful and he has chosen not to open my womb.
And what God uses in your life as a tool to shape you to become conformed to the image of Christ be a different tool that he uses in somebody else's
life.
Right.
Yes.
And I've talked about this on the show before, but I read in a book that someone was talking about having jealousy for moms that pregnancy just came easy to, and that there was this young mom who wasn't even married, did things in the wrong order. She gets pregnant, and it was like, why does she get to have this child?
Yeah.
And
I've been there.
She was talking about how in that mom's life, she felt overwhelmed as a young kid. How do I be a mom? And having a child was a sanctifying process that made her more like Jesus through that very thing that you're jealous of. And just how the tool, and I think about God as an artist, and he has a lot of tools in his arsenal of what he can use, and he knows our hearts. And I think for me,
that's it.
He knew that my desire to be a mom was so strong that struggling with infertility was what it was going to take to carve out a flesh chunk and lay it on the altar.
And everyone has a cross to bear. I love that you brought that up, because the scripture says that we all have a cross to bear, and some people it could be the infertility, some is having children and struggling with that, and some facet, maybe you're dealing with a kid now that is all out of whack and is in and out of trouble. Like, that's their cross to bear. Everyone's is different, because God knows what we need to make us look more like Christ. He knows what we need to make, because I wouldn't know. Like, I had pride too, Kendra. Still do a little bit. Where I really thought, just, I'm going to be off the chain as a mother, you know? I was like that with stepmother world. I was like, piece of cake. It was not, and it's not. Like, I'm just like, this is hard. But the Lord is using it for his glory. There's another verse I wanted to read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And it says this, and he died for all so that they who live might not no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. We're not even supposed to live for ourselves. And a lot of times, this is going to hurt y'all, but I love when the Holy Spirit keeps it 100 with me. There was a time where I wanted children to worship me. Mm-hmm. Especially in
you
those
times. You might not have said it you like that, but it's what you meant.
That's what I meant, because the Holy Spirit revealed it. Yeah. Sometimes people want children to worship them, or if you're in a difficult marriage, or if you're, you know, life is just not what it wants to be, or you may use that idol of children within your dog. All these pet lovers, there's nothing wrong with having a dog, but are you wanting it so it can just lick all up on you and just love on you? Are you wanting to be your own God? That is the problem. Yeah. It's the issue of the heart.
Ooh. Oh, for sure. Ooh. Yeah, because sometimes I feel like that is what you picture when you're struggling with infertility and you're just like, I just want a baby, that baby's going to fix all your problems. I mean, really. And it can be so, because you think about those sweet moments of swaddling and they're loving on you and you're the best thing that's ever happened to them, literally the best thing that's ever happened to them. But then, yeah, we have to remember that life does happen, and sicknesses happen, and multiple changes of diapers through the night happen.
I don't have a strong stomach. Don't
know. It's rough.
I've heard some stories. I'm like, man, you had to clean that up.
So let's think about in each of our lives, since I know there's that heavy cloud of weight on people as Mother's Day is approaching, was there a time in your struggle with infertility that you felt like God was showing you his goodness or pouring an abundant joy into your heart, or even just a moment where you got to see him really clearly that brought you peace or hope, or a scripture that just really ministered to you? They're both thinking really hard, so I'm like,
I'm so hard.
I know. I don't even have mine in mind when I ask the question.
I think I've shared it before, but what comes to mind is literally me standing at my washing machine doing clothes. And at the time we had, I'd had I think 5 miscarriages, and we had Art was already in our home. He was, I don't remember how old he was. He was over 6 months old, because we also had the other 2 kiddos in our home
that we were fostering.
And the Lord had revealed, it's still in my mirror at home, but as scripture in Psalms where he says, wait, you must wait upon the Lord. And he had revealed that scripture to me to show me, like, we've talked about it before, like, waiting doesn't mean that we're just sitting in a chair, like, twiddling our thumbs, like, well, he said to wait. It's actively doing, but doing what, all of our doing looks different, you know, to honor him. But that day, it was a day in February, and I remember I literally just held up my hands in my laundry room. I was like, God, I give this desire to you. You've finally gotten it all. I give it all completely to you. I'm okay if we don't have children. And that was when we had just made the decision not to pursue IVF. That was when we had been told a month or two earlier, this is basically your only, you know, route to biological children. And that was in February, and in May is when I found out I was just pregnant with Jane. I was pregnant that next Mother's Day, and I didn't know it. Wow. But that was the first easy Mother's Day that I had whenever
that surrender.
Yeah, it was like, I finally don't have to dread this day. I finally, like, I have given this to the Lord. We celebrated those biological mothers with the children that we had, and then they still celebrated me as their foster mama. And so, but I will say, with foster care, I feel like so many people are either like, you are a mama stepmama, you're a mama foster mama. Ooh, that's what people, and I was like, but it's not.
Not the same. It's not.
These children are going.
Thank you.
State of Mississippi, they're supposed to, my goal is for them to go back home, you know. And so in our sweet Mark, he is still with us, praise the Lord. At that time, that was not a for sure thing that he was going to be with us. And so we still celebrated his biological mom that day. And so that's.
I love that.
You, any God winks?
Yes,
come to mind?
I would say it was last year. Says last year, right? 6.5 years now. Last year, I was, one thing I started doing, because I would always be just down in the dumps, and I was just like, I wasn't doing much, but I would go to the gym. And I made a purpose last year to go to more exercise classes just to meet other women. And I met Patsy. Patsy is 60-something years old, never had a child, married, never had children. And while I was talking to Patsy, she was just sharing me her testimony. She got a little emotional, but she said, it just wasn't God's plan, you know? And and in the midst of that, I started meeting other women. I brought that up to say, the Lord revealed to me then, even in my struggle, he's using me to be able to be a blessing to other women. Amen. Not only can I relate to you, but encourage, iron sharpening iron. Patsy encouraged me. Now, do I fear about being 60 something years old without children? A little bit I do, but she has nieces, and so I, that's one of my biggest fears. fears is what will happen to me in the future. I'm not wanting my kids to take care of me, but I want some kids to yeah, to view, yeah, because my husband's older. He may leave. I don't know. He may leave before me, you know? And so that's another area of the Lord has shown me to trust him, that he'll care for me. But I would say that was then when the Lord showed me how in this infertility, how he's using me for his glory to be a blessing to other women.
That's awesome. Well, we're almost out of time. I'll share mine real quick. It was after Eric and I had our early miscarriage, and the Lord just revealed the scripture about Jesus wept and how he wept over Lazarus in a new light, and just really impressed on my heart that the Lord identified with my emotion, that my emotion was okay to process and that I was not alone. And that was just the most freeing thing ever, to just be like, you are with me. And it's okay to grieve. But we are almost out of time. You guys, happy Mother's Day. I hope that you can celebrate your moms, and that you can also, as a hopefully a mom to be, really lean into the Lord's goodness and character to carry you through this difficult day.
That's right. Thank you, ladies, for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we'll see you back next week.